All right, it is my pleasure to welcome back to Caravan to Midnight, Ole Damegaard, author, international speaker, former journalist and investigator who's dedicated the last 30 years of his life researching many of the global conspiracies. His main focus has been to find out the truth about the assassinations of JFK, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, John Lennon, the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, and Lady Di, plus the terror attacks of 9/11, Norway, Oklahoma City, and the Boston Marathon, and a lot more. Over the last three decades, Ole has discovered links between all of these assassinations, which has led him to believe that the same people were involved in both the JFK and Olof Palme murders, as well as many other major events. The same global elite seemed to have used the same skilled mechanics for decades for doing their dirty work. He's been among key speakers at many international conferences, including outside the Bilderberg meeting in 2014. And he's had the privilege of being a special guest on hundreds of programs, from Buzzsaw with Sean Stone, The People's Voice, UK, The Richie Allen Show, Red Ice Creations, Sweden USA Camelot Project, Veritas Radio, and many, many, many more. He also has articles published on prominent websites, such as, should I say it, Veterans Today. And in addition, he's very busy with a series of documentaries aiming at exposing many of the false flag operations that are currently hitting modern society. It's really unbelievable. Anyway, we're going to get into the unbelievable. And I got a feeling we're going to find some components in it that are completely believable, as now these things just seem to go on, and they get a little news coverage, and then they go away, and they have their effect, and we don't really know what it is that's affecting it. We just know that we're feeling something. So without further ado, here he is, Ole Damegaard. How are you, sir?
I'm doing absolutely great. Thank you, John.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Who would have thought that a Russian ambassador... You know, this is just weird. The Russian ambassador gets whacked out by this lunatic at an art gallery. Then you've got a NATO official found dead in his car. The first report that I heard was that the gun that was used to inflict the head wound was in the glove box of the car. Now, I don't know if that anybody's followed up since, but that's the first thing that I heard, was that this is odd. He was shot in the head with this gun, and it's in the glove box. Suicide, pretty determined. He's pretty much of a neat fanatic, if that's the case. Then we have the man that Ulkata, the man who published the book about how the CIA runs the German media. Now he's dead at 56 of a heart attack.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just phrase this as diplomatically as I can. Here it is. What the hell is going on out there?
I'll tell you, John. I must say, after all of these years, I humbly believe that what we're seeing is a totally coordinated international attack on modern society by the so-called global elite with the New World Order agenda. And what they're trying to is, through fear, get us into a position where they can get total control. And this is based on, like, the old CIA strategy, the strategy of tension, and also Operation Chaos, how to inflict absolute chaos into society so that we will just bend over and accept whatever solution they give us for our protection, as it's always called. It's always for our protection. And I would just suggest that if you see so many of so similar operations or attacks, wouldn't it sort of be time to ask a question or two? Could they be coordinated? Could it be the same forces behind it when we're looking at the same script being played out again and again and again and again and again and again? The only thing that is changing is the location. And now we're seeing a repetition of the locations as well, especially here in Europe. And I would very much suggest that this is NATO operations in combination with the CIA Mossad and other intelligence, they call themselves intelligence agency, I wouldn't call them that, but terror agencies that are carrying these things out.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when that little MP, Joe Cox, I understand that the guy who did her in was stabbing her and shooting her, make sure that she did not survive the attack. And she was pro-EU, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the thing, when you look at Jo Cox, for people who don't know it, she was an English MP, and she was the symbol for staying in the European Union, not leaving. And Brexit, the whole Brexit referendum, it wasn't an election, it was a referendum, was about keeping or leaving the European Union. And then just a few days before the so-called referendum, boom, she was hit and killed by a lone crazy guy, first stabbing then and shooting her as well. But the thing is that there is an almost identical assassination that was carried out in Sweden on 9/11 2003, exactly on the day 2 years after 9/11, the 11 attacks in the US. And that was exactly the same situation. In Sweden, it was a matter of would Sweden accept the European currency or stay with the Swedish krona? And she was the symbol to go with the European euro. And I would suggest that what we're seeing here is like when the forces behind the curtain, when they cannot by logic force us into following their agenda, then they go emotional. And then you will see this being repeated right before the big elections. If they haven't been able to persuade you through propaganda and pressure in different areas, then they go emotional. And then they hit women, children. This is the thing to get deep into the emotional state of people. And the thing is with this Jo Cox, I mean, when you look at the whole thing, it said that she was up in the north of England. She was speaking to voters there before the election or the referendum. And then this guy who was absolutely peaceful and he had never done anything in his life is said to have just come up to her for no apparent reason, starting to stab her. There was a man, an older guy, who came forward, tried to help her. He stabbed him as well, and then shot Joe Cox in the head. But when you look at the crime scene, we're back to there's absolutely no blood. There's no CCTV footage at all. And where she was stabbed and where they did the forensic investigation is like 200 yards apart when you compare it to the location of the tent where they did the forensic thing and where she was supposed to be killed. And there's so many of these things where it just does not match up at all. And I would once again humbly suggest that what we've been seeing for at least the last 2 years here in Europe and the States are this massive, like a campaign against us trying to scare us into obedience so that we will accept the New World Order. And because the thing is, it's only through fear that they can control us. And they are very aware of it because the people behind this agenda, they're very few when you look at it. They look very powerful, but really the numbers are in the thousands. And we, the rest of the global population, are in the billions. So it is, as far as I know, it's based on the old Roman tactics on how an elite few, at least they call themselves the elite few, can control the masses. And the only solution to that problem in their point of view is through fear. They need to keep us fearful. They need to have an outer boogeyman. If there isn't an enemy out there already, then they need to create one to scare us so that we will then accept their control measurements all over the place.
Well, let me ask you this. Does anybody have an idea of what the world is supposed to look like after everyone has submitted to the so-called New World Order?
I tell you, I can only tell you what I've been able to find out through insider sources and other researchers. because I have no idea. When you look at the mentality behind this agenda and the mentality behind what they're doing to the world, it's the same mentality as the psychology behind a cancer virus, where the biggest goal for the cancer virus is to kill the carrier. And I mean, what kind of weird logic is that? But that's sort of like the last, yay, baby, is when the body where the cancer virus grows dies. And here we have, they're trying to mess up the whole world, the soil, our air, our food, our possibility to continue as a race, multiply, and so on. They're trying to mess everything up, so I don't get it at all. But as far as I know, what they're looking for is a one world global fascist state, not separate countries, but one global state with a one world army, not there to protect us, the normal people, but there to control us. And this would be an army that is a combination of the NATO troops, the United Nations troops, and the American army together in one as a world army. They want a one world digital currency, which is super, super dangerous, I would say, very, very scary. The reason they want it digital is because as long as you have normal coins and money, if there is a problem with your credit card or your chip, you can just say, oh, sorry, here, and you pay with normal money. But the very second there are no more coins and bills and so on, then when your credit card or the chip or whatever you have does not work, then the one in control of that chip controls your life. They can just shut you down, and that is what they're really trying to do. You have Sweden, for instance, that is more or less 99% now cashless. You cannot do anything. You can't even go to a bank and put money in. You can't get money out of a bank even now. And now here in Spain, they're starting to shut down the bank offices and so on. They really want to force us into making this whole thing digital, so that for total control. Then they want us all to be microchipped so that they can see where we are, if we go to the toilet, if we, whatever we're doing, who we meet, where we are, if we work or not work, connected to GPS, so that we are under control at all times. And, well, they want to control all food, all water. They want to tax us for air, carbon dioxide, all kinds of taxes that will just keep us in absolute total slavery. I tell you, when you look at their plans, you can read Agenda 21, you can see 1984, these type of films as well, where you see people from the inside have come forward with their agenda. The future that they want for us is so dark, so, so dark. So this is a time, I would say, to get out of the sofa and get rid of the remote and start doing something. Wake up and start interacting with people. Start informing yourself, because if not, we are screwed. That is the way I see it.
You know, I was thinking about ISIS, and I'm thinking that ISIS, it's almost like it's almost like a crooked sheriff hires the Hell's Angels to be the police department. You know what I mean? And
sorry.
Well, let's see. This is from RT. Assange, Clinton and ISIS funded by the same money. Trump won't be allowed to win. Well, okay. That's from the 5th of November last year. But Trump did win. And now look at how crazy they all are. Joe Biden, the vice president, who seems like he barely knows where he is and acts like somebody dropped him on his head when he was a baby at the orphanage or whatever. He's upset the progressive democratic order is being threatened. Did he really use the words progressive democratic order? I think he did. So if we know that, according to those emails that Julian's bunch leaked, if Qatar and Saudi Arabia are providing financial and logistic support to ISIS, okay, fine. And now there are these real strong anti-immigrant social media postings and, you know, just, well, for example, this is from Gatestone Institute. And just some of the notes up at the top. Well, officials in Germany's Interior Ministry are urging Interior Minister Thomas de Maizière to establish a defense center against information or to combat what they call political disinformation, a euphemism for fake news. But the question is, when massive anti-Semitism swept large German cities in the summer 2014, for example, no such anti-racist zeal was manifest on the part of the German government. On the contrary, there were instances of authorities practically facilitating hate speech. In July 2014, Frankfurt police let mainly Muslim protesters use their van's megaphone to belt out slogans of incitement in Arabic, including the repeated chanting of Allahu Akbar and that Jews are child murderers. However, firebombing a synagogue, is simply an act of protest. But if you go out there and start talking this stuff or putting it up on social media, you can have your house raided and you can wind up arrested in a lot of trouble. So, Angela Merkel, still the champion of unchecked immigration. Now we've got Theresa May in England going, we're not going to do this immigration thing. We're going to get this under control right away. So it looks like, so I can't track who's doing what. It's almost as though Europe has been flooded, and the U.S. as well, with ISIS believers. Okay, so we're playing around here. Let's say that that's the New World Order's police department. That's their agitation group. That's the bunch that they can call on to cause problems, much like only worse problems than what's being threatened for Friday and the inauguration of Donald Trump. So, I mean, how hard is this to figure out? You can't count on Assange to be correct on everything, but if he says the same money funds the Clinton Foundation and ISIS, all right, fine. If we get along with Qatar and we get along with Saudi Arabia, and they're funding ISIS and giving them logistic support as well, I think that means, weapons and supplies, gear. Okay, and they've left the borders pretty much open in this country, and the borders are open in Europe. So now it appears that when we hear, we've got to push back against this populism, meaning the will of the people. They want to push back against a rejection of the standard candidates, and the people are beginning to demand that things be done on their behalf, rather than on the behalf of the so-called elected officials and the so-called elites. So,
well, can I remind you about this German journalist that you just mentioned, Ulf Kotte, who died? I would say there's strong suspicions that he was taken out. He was one of the few people that have dared to step forward and say, even European media is controlled by the CIA and other forces. I mean, he was being paid for. They wrote the article. He put his name under it and was paid for it. That was it. But I mean, we're talking total propaganda. And when you look at the news, I mean, I'm a former journalist. I should know. And now, when you look at the media in the U.S., you have like six corporations owning more or less at least 95-96% of all media in the U.S. So would it surprise you if the same forces that own the media would have an interest in pushing your opinion in a certain direction? It's come to a point where I do not trust media in Europe or the States at all, because real journalists are people like you and I. The real journalists nowadays have been hijacked. Not all of them are aware of it, but they've been, through the editors that are the higher up you come in the hierarchy, they are the ones getting closer to where the power is pushing. But as a normal journalist, you don't really notice because you're so busy with writing about Britney Spears' breakfast or some football player's knee injury or something like that, not really understanding what's going on. So what you're talking about is that Europe is being flooded with immigrants. I mean, I hear that everywhere. I hear that every fourth woman in Sweden has been, raped, and there's been all of this violence. And I would just like to point out that I live at the most southern point of Spain. I can see the North Africa from here. I can see Morocco on a clear day. I can see the mountains there. And in media, we are being told that this area, this coast here, which is the southern coast of Europe, is being totally invaded by hundreds and hundreds of immigrants drowning in boats and trying desperately to get here. I've lived here for now 16, 17 years. I have not seen one boat. I have not seen one refugee. I have not seen anything. I have not seen anything. I've been traveling around in Europe because I do, like you said, these documentaries where I try to go on location where these false flag operations have been carried out with somebody with a undercover camera and film on location while these operations are still ongoing, trying to expose what's actually happened. I have not seen any of these refugees. I mean, we're talking, I don't know, maybe they are there, but I have not seen them. But it's like one day, just before there was a big operation carried out in Sweden, where a young guy is said to have stabbed and killed other students and a teacher, which started, because in Sweden we don't have mass shootings, it's with a knife instead, because there are no guns in Sweden the same way as in the US. But the morning before this happened, when to get people open emotionally, it was said that 194,000 immigrants was now standing at the border of Swedish cities. I tried to track down 194,000 people. Where are they? So I've asked everybody I know in Sweden, have you seen them? And some have said, yeah, I saw them at the train station. So I said, was there 194,000 people? No, but I saw at least like 200. Okay, there's a massive difference between 194,000 and 200. And I've been to Iran, I've been to Syria, I've been to Jordan, I've been to these type of countries. And one time when I was in Tehran, it was during the war, there was nothing going on, absolutely nothing, even though it was in the middle of the war, the Iran-Iraq war, and there were bombings going on and so on. But then I saw down the street, there was something, some commotion there. So I started walking down there, and I saw there was a TV crew, Western TV crew, I don't know from what country, and they had paid some street boys, homeless, but like poor young guys, some money, and they were waving a flag in front of the camera, turning it on fire, and that was it. I mean, they were in total maybe 15 people, including the camera crew. But that is what then is pumped out through media. Look at the, now they're standing up, death to USA and all of these things through media things like this. And when you look at the New World Order, one of the things that they have been planning for years, and there's written books about it. There's one of them called, I think it's called The Global Chess Game and so on, where they exactly describe what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. And one of the things that they're going to do is divert and conquer. Is that the way you say it? Not divert.
Distract.
Not distract, but when you turn people against each other and you conquer them in that way. And this is here where they're trying to beat up this whole racist thing. And also with many videos coming out, YouTube videos, where you see immigrants beating up Europeans Okay, but please notice who's filming it. You know, it's said to, oh, somebody was just happened to film it, you know, but the camera was on before the whole thing started, meaning action and boom, carried out most of the time. It is the same when you see all of these false flag operations as well. Please be aware who, just because the camera is shaking doesn't mean that it's real, and just because it's blurry doesn't mean that it's real. And why was the camera on before it actually happened? And you will see again and again and again when you track down who actually filmed it. It's like for instance, the Nice attack this summer, where it said that a Tunisian guy took a big, massive, big truck, drove into the city center of Nice, where these trucks are banned to enter. It was too big. And then on the Bastille Day, the national holiday, went in and just for some unknown reason thought, I'm going to kill a lot of people here, and just went straight into a crowd, the official story, killing 84 people and injuring some 202 people. Okay. When you look at it, not a single drop of blood on the truck. It's all said to have happened on a distance that is 1.2 mile long. But when you actually see from where they started filming, because somebody was filming it, when they started filming the attack, and then to where the so-called shootout was, where the police is said to have killed the driver, that should be 1.2 miles. But when you check it out, because we've been able to identify the balcony where the guy that was filming it was standing, that's the Westminster Hotel, and the shootout was right outside one of the big, biggest casinos in Nice. And when you look at Google Map, it's a total distance of 205 yards, not 1.2 mile, but a very small controlled area. So who did the filming? Well, it was a German journalist called Richard Gutjahr. I mean, journalist, maybe he was just there, you know, on the right time, on the right place at the right time, just happened to have his camera up. But I always really check out who these people are. And it turned out that his wife, her name is Einat Wilf, she's actually a former member of the Israeli Knesset. She was one of the advisors to Shamir, what's his name? Yitzhak Shamir, sorry, I cannot. But she also did her military duty, I think, in a military unit called 8802, which is totally connected to Mossad. Okay, and then just a week later, a few days later, there was another attack in Germany. We're talking totally different country, in Germany, in a supermarket there. So who was filming? Well, it was the same Richard Gutjahr that just happened to be there. And who was one of the people that were being interviewed in international media all over the place? Well, it was his daughter. Okay, so at the Charlie Hebdo shooting, the infamous one where I think most people have seen, where there's two people, terrorists, coming in a black Citroën, running, jumping out, and then shooting a police officer on the pavement with a headshot with an AK-47. That is a film that most people have seen on video, on YouTube or in the news or something like that. Okay, so who did the filming there? Was it some French guy who just happened to be there, or was a tourist or something? No, it was the deputy editor of the second biggest TV channel in Israel. What are the chances? Now you have this Berlin attack where it said, oh, this horror, this truck drove into the crowd and killed all these people. You go to on location, all the official story does not match up at all, at all. Nothing happened there when you look at the evidence. And then who was on location, who was there? Walking around there. I mean, we're talking about where this whole attack happened. It's about 100 yards in total, somewhere between 50 and 100. And the official story is that there were 12 dead, 50 wounded. That the truck just went in 40 miles an hour, went straight into and just slaughtered all of these people. Horrible, horrible if it really happened. But that is not what you see when you really start looking at the evidence. And who was there? just in the Christmas market, having a nice time walking around and leaving just before it happened, so that he was on the bus and then just by coincidence heard the sirens when the ambulance came. Well, it was only the most well-known terror expert and professor in politics, Shapiro Shlomo, Shlomo Shapiro, an Israeli expert normally working at the university in Tel Aviv, who is highly, highly knowledgeable about false flag attacks. When it happened in Denmark, the Copenhagen shootings that I was able to publicly predict on international radio, 1 month on the day, on the exact hour before it happened, I was able to point out the exact location, time, and so on before it happened. Not because I'm super intelligent or got a crystal ball, but because I'm starting to understand how they work, how their timeline is very tight and so on. So anyway, when that happened, because Denmark and Sweden are working very closely together in these operations as well, then you had one of the top experts on false flag operations in Sweden that just happened to be exactly where it all happened. And the people, the police that came running and was chasing the so-called bad guys, were Swedish police in the center of Copenhagen, Denmark. So, what can I say? It's I always try to use what I call Farmer Brown logic. 1 + 1 = 2. There is a logic to why things happen. There is a reason why people do things like this. And when you come to, you were talking about ISIS before, it's a total creation of the CIA, the Mossad, and funded by different countries, Saudi, one of them, and so on. As a terror tool, it's like Mr. T in the Rocky films. You know, it's the boogeyman. The first it was Al Qaeda. After when the war in Afghanistan were over and the U.S. had pumped in lots and lots of money trying to train and educate agents in Mujahideen against the Russians. Then the Russians said, we've had it, we're going home. So then suddenly they had this massive force of people with weapons and educated in terror attacks and so on. What were they going to do with it? So let's use it in the strategy of tension, where before this, they mostly used people from the Ghost Army Gladio, or stay behind troops here in Europe and in the US as well. So the name of the database for these people that they had trained in Afghanistan was Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda actually means database. It's just an Arabic name of database. And that was the name of this database with these agents. So suddenly, out of the blue, boom, when the wall went down here in Europe, the wall in Berlin and the Cold War ended, they needed a new boogeyman because they didn't have one. And suddenly there was peace in the world. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So boom, in on stage, Al-Qaeda. Their creation to scare us. Then they used that for a long, long time with totally their operations all the time. But then in the end, for a few years ago, when, I mean, you couldn't even scare a dog with Al-Qaeda anymore or anyone. So what were they going to do? They needed to upgrade the fear-mongering level. So in on stage, from absolute nowhere, nobody had even heard of them, in on stage, ISIS. And by the way, ISIS stands for Israeli Security Intelligence Services. That is where this name came from. And they had... They had an incredible, I mean, when you look into, I think the Corbett Report has made an incredible podcast about ISIS and the background and their leaders, because they had this first guy, his name was Washut, something Washut, I think, with a W. Okay, this guy had an amazing life force, because first he was killed, then he was put in jail, then he escaped, then he was wounded, then he was killed again, or something like that. Okay, then he was replaced by somebody called al-Baghdadi. And why did they choose that name? I think totally part of the whole propaganda thing, because when you have lone crazy shooters or terrorists that are just there to freak you out with a so-called underwear bomb or something like that, but where you just need to be scared once from that thing, they will use very odd names, always three names, salam ulup bahabala or something like that. So they go, oh, that sounds really weird. When you also see a photo with a big moustache, black eyes and big black eyebrows, you would get scared. But when you have something that you need to scare on a regular basis, you need to come up like with a jingle or a logo or a good name that will go, you know, like.
Yeah, you're talking about branding now. You got to brand your terror.
It is the same thing. They're using marketing agencies, all of these experts in propaganda. People that are really good at selling Coca-Cola and cornflakes normally are being hired in, but selling fear. That's the thing, fear. And they even use product placement in these operations. I mean, one thing that I love it. Every time there is a photo of anything with ISIS and there's a vehicle in there, I can guarantee you it's a Toyota. I can guarantee you that it's a Toyota. So in the hundreds, why, if ISIS were for real, and a company like that, for some reason, was selling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vehicles to this terror organization, why wouldn't the rest of the world stand up and say, listen, we're going to boycott you if you don't stop with these type of things, or at least we're going to ask you what the hell is going on? But there's nothing like that, absolutely nothing. In my opinion, ISIS, absolute bluff, bull-ess, and just there as a fear-mongering tool. Then they start changing the name because we, you know, this is part of the operation as well. ISIS, people know ISIS. Then they start going ISIL or IS or Daesh, so that we will think, oh my God, it's a new organization. I need to be scared now. I was just starting to calm down. It's propaganda, and the result is fear. They need us fearful. So I would like to just, if I can, ask the people to do anything. The next thing something happened, Fort Lauderdale kind of operation or mass shooting or bomb this or bomb that, ask yourself, who benefits from me believing this? Who benefits from me being scared? And so on. And if you don't know anything else what to do, focus on becoming fearless. You know, let go of fear and turn off the TV. Turn it off in these days. You can find it so much on the internet where that can stimulate you or educate you. But the main channels at this point is just there as a sewage right into your living room, into your children's room, pumping you with their crap. And it's up to each and everyone, but I strongly suggest to turn it off. And I haven't had a TV for the last 12 years or something like that. And I'm still well informed.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I heard years ago, Madison Avenue never gives up, but this kind of gives it new meaning in life. But, you know, I can't really argue with what you're saying, but let me get a clarification on something.
Please.
Shlomo, the guy who happened to get on the bus just before the big truck attack.
Yeah.
Now, are we thinking that there were no fatalities, it was a staged event, or that it was orchestrated by this Shlomo who was overseeing the festivities, as it might be?
I can tell you this. We're talking about a truck. I'll just give you the overview. This truck is said to have come in 40 miles an hour. There's even a dash cam camera in a cab that has filmed it arrive. But this camera, there's no date, there's no time, there's no nothing. So I would very much question that one as well. You can just see it standing there waiting at a red light, and it's coming. You see suddenly this silhouette of a truck coming very fast from the left and passing. The thing, it passes the entrance as well into the Christmas market. So the truck actually do not go in there. You look at the location itself where it's said to have happened. The total stretch of where all of these people have said to have been killed is maximum 100 yards. The way that the truck is said to have got into the area is first almost a 90 degree angle to the right, and then after just a few yards, a 90 degree to the left. You cannot do that with a 15 meter long truck without having the rear of the truck totally massacre and crash the buildings that were right there to the left. I'm a truck driver, I'm a bus driver, former bus driver. You cannot do these maneuvers. There are no skid marks, there's nothing that shows that a truck got in there. Then it said that 12 people died and there was more or less 50 casualty or wounded. Okay. There was a German journalist that just happened to be there, and he started filming 90 seconds after it happened. We've been able to, you know, you see the camera, he's going all over the place. And at one point, if you go frame by frame, you will see that he passes the clock on the church tower. And then you count backwards from that time, and you will see that he's there 90 seconds after it started. It officially happened at 8:02 p.m. in the evening. Okay, so what is he seeing? Is he seeing a total massacre? Because we're talking about like 62 people dead or wounded there. No. For one thing, the video footage, as usual, is super blurry, very dark. You will see, and the camera is mostly held downwards. Okay, so the only thing you see, he walks around very calmly. There's no screaming, no moaning of people being wounded. But there's three people that are being taken care of. They sit up and are being comforted by other people. There are people walking around trying to, put up stuff that have been turned over. Nobody is focusing. He even walks by where the truck is standing. And there are two old ladies. There's quite a lot of people walking around. There are two old ladies with their handbags. Nobody's even looking at the truck, even though the only people you see wounded are three people. That means that you would have like 59 dead people or wounded people underneath the truck. Nobody is doing anything. Okay, so you look at the truck itself, you look at the location, and these false flag operations are more or less always carried out on a very specific location and on a very specific day. Here we have, it was on the hour, more or less, when Trump was being sealed as the next president. Three different operations in Europe, more or less at the exact same time as Trump was being sealed as the next president. And this is after more or less at least a month with no false flags here in Europe. Because when the elections went on, well, ISIS went to bed. Nothing happened. All focus was on the US. And then on the hour when this happened, could they be somehow connected? I would at least suggest it's a possibility. Okay, so the thing is that this happened right outside. I mean, we're not talking sort of outside, but right outside the most famous symbol of Germany, more or less. It is the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, which is the symbol. It's like a ruin, a church that was, it was the only thing that was standing, more or less. After the Second World War, when the center of Berlin was totally turned into gravel by bombs and cannon fire and so on. And here we have, so that the truck where it stopped came to a stop, it is so many of these photos taken of the truck, shows the truck and then this tower in the background. And on many other photos, the church clock says 9/11. This is also standard. They do this so many times. Anyway, but the thing is, the one that really gives this away is that along the Christmas market was all up on the pavement. There was a big Christmas market, all up on the pavement, and on the edge of the pavement, between the street and the pavement, are these metal poles. I think they're called boulders or something like that in English, and they were like less than 6 feet apart, like 5 feet apart, 5 feet apart. Meaning that a truck could not go in or out without having to knock one of these over, at least one of them. And here we have the truck where there's photos where when you zoom in and go into great detail, you will see that the truck is actually reversed up against one of them. It's right behind the truck, the back of the truck. And it's just, I'll show you the slide. You can go to slide 11. It is not sort of like almost there, it's right behind the truck. And that would not be possible. Had the truck passed across it, over it, it would have knocked it down. The front of the truck would have been damaged severely because these are heavy-duty metal things. They are not supposed to move at all. And here, absolutely not a scratch, nothing. And afterwards, once the truck was moved away, I've had people on location filming these metal poles, and so and also the di measuring them distance between them. They're absolutely intact. So nowhere could a truck have gone in, done this incredible maneuver without knife jacking or knocking out the lots of these Christmas huts on the left side, which was totally undamaged. And then go out like that. And while you're at it, if you're a terrorist and you're gonna go in there and kill so many people, why didn't he just stick in the aisle between all of these huts and continue killing hundreds of people if that was the task? But here, absolutely nothing. You will see the police arrives, the ambulances arrive before there's an alert sent out. The official alarm isn't even sent out. The police that arrive, they close off the street right away. You will see the guy that walks around filming. There are four people that have closed off the street, redirecting the traffic. So they're in total control of this little area. The police arrive. Nobody cares about going up to the truck and look underneath or anything. Instead, there are several people you can see that are there collecting debris and putting debris around the truck. There's no blood, there's no moaning, there's no screaming, there's nothing. Very calm, very. And then there was one suspect that was arrested afterwards. They say right in front of another symbol, one of the major symbols, the Statue of Liberty in Berlin. It is so super central on so many postcards and so on. Right there in this roundabout, they said that they took him. And they say he was Pakistani. Then you see the photos of the guy being taken into a car. He's absolutely super Caucasian. He looks like a skinhead or military guy, very light skinned, shaved head, and these things. And then you have, like I said, just like always, the CCTV footage when you really need it does not work. No camera footage whatsoever. Then you have, just like in all of the other operations, so many of the people that are being interviewed that looks like victims from these operations or terror attacks, alleged terror attacks, are journalists. They're somehow connected to media. Okay, and here we had the American journalist Emma Rushton. Please remember, we're only talking 100 yards where Shapiro Shlomo, oh, I forget his name, Shlomo Shapiro, he was there. And the BBC and CNN was there before German media even came there, even though, I mean, it's in the center of Berlin. They were already there, just as on so many of these other alleged terror attack locations. And there was another woman, Shadana Durrani, from she was an editor for Google. She was there as well. And then you had the guy filming, a German journalist who was walking around filming, and he worked as the I think the chief editor for the Berlin Morgenpost, which is also very central. Then you have the lighting, you know, over the Christmas, the whole Christmas market, there were like strings of lighting with like light bulbs, very pretty, like this. The thing is, it was all there after the attack, it's totally intact, but it's hanging lower than the height of the truck, which is said to have gone under it. Had the truck entered the way we're being told and done what we're being told, it would have just pulled the whole thing down with it, crashed into all of these things. The only thing we see that is crashed is one building made of, I don't know, wallpaper or something like that. I mean, there's nothing there. And then just the symbolism of the Christmas tree that has fallen over. There's also, you will see, if we go through many of these other operations, it's almost like there is a Santa Claus theme, you know, in this series of operations that happened within a week's around Christmas here. The first one beginning in Denmark, which is one of the countries that are very often involved in these so-called attacks, where a Danish police officer is said to have been gunned down totally for no reason. And this is in Denmark, where people don't have weapons. No, there's very little violence, if you really check out the fact. And the guy that is claimed to have been shot, his name, his second name was Jul, which means Christmas in Danish. Then you have, please interrupt me, John, I'm just ranting on.
No, this is just great. So, yeah, and it's interesting that you get a truck attack in Germany, and then you get a truck attack in Jerusalem.
I tell you, so many interviews we've said, isn't it weird that ISIS never attacked Israel? Because they never have attacked them before. And then, boom, this happened with an alleged truck attack here. And so when you look at that, one of the things you will see in these operations is that very often the people injured or killed are police officers or people in the military, in the US and here in Europe as well. Often if they're shot or wounded and so on, it will be in the leg or in the arm, and they're police officers. I would suggest the reason for this is because, well, five police officers were gunned down. We don't ask for names. We don't do backup, check up, you know, if you're a normal person. You're just like, oh my God, five police officers got killed. You don't check them out the same way as so-called civilians. And it's also people that they control, that are under orders, that can have been enforced more or less to sign agreements to keep quiet and so on. So anyway, here in Jerusalem, it is said that this truck with a Palestinian guy, they were up, there's a viewpoint above Jerusalem, it's a beautiful place, and they were standing there, all of these soldiers there were standing there, and then waiting for the bus was there, and then you see this truck coming, and just vroom, there's a CCTV camera. For once it was working, that films this whole thing. But as far as I can see from the angle, there is no pole or anything that where this could be filmed from. The angle is, it doesn't really match up. If they've not built like telephone poles or something like that recently, because the photos I've got from the area, which is not brand new, the angle doesn't match up. And then if you go, you have, when there is CCTV footage, I mean, we would like to have the real CCTV footage, but we're never given that. Instead, somebody is filming with a shaky video camera a TV screen with the CCTV footage, meaning that once again, there's no time, you can't get the digital data out of the footage or anything like that. It's a bit shaky, blurry, and so on. And the people filming it, for whatever reason they have been filming this screen, you can hear them just talking very calmly in the background. No reaction. I mean, we're just seeing a truck go straight into a crowd and officially killing, I think, four soldiers, where three of them were women, back to the emotional impact, and so on. But if you go film screen by screen by screen, or image by image by image, in the video, you will see that it doesn't match up. For one thing, the truck, there's a pole, like a light pole, stand very close to where the bus is parked. I've been on Google Map, I checked the distances. There is a possibility to get a truck in between there, but it is very, very tight, if not impossible, I would say. And then you see the truck just go straight into the crowd. You will see that the crowd is totally blurred in that area, so you can't see any details. And also there's some of the cars that are blurred and their number plates are blurred, so you can't see anything, what is really going on. Then when this truck is said to hit, I mean, it looks really real, but when you go frame by frame, you will see that suddenly the lower part of the truck disappears. And then it appears again, and then it comes and goes. Just like, you know, the footage where at 9/11, where one of the famous films where you see the plane go in at an angle straight into one of the towers.
Oh, yeah, it zooms right into it.
You will see that the left wing just disappears and suddenly appears again, and then right before it knocks into the building. I mean, we're looking at CGI. Not real footage, I would suggest. And then the whole propaganda machine pumping out the, making Israel being the victim. This has been the theme of since 2014, I would say, most of the time here in Europe, when any nation had been standing up pro-Palestine or anti-Israel in any way, they have been punished somehow, or being part of these operations. And I'm like, people say, but that's anti-Semitic or something. For me, it doesn't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Hindu, green, blue, red. I'm looking at criminals and their deeds. So I don't care wherever it leads me. I can just say that here, the Mossad presence is extremely present again and again and again, with dear Mr. Netanyahu in the forefront.
You know, this is just ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, on a long enough timeline, it seems like now especially, everything is revealed. You know, going all the way back to 9/11, that's a long time now. A long time ago now, but I remember seeing these, the recordings, the video recordings over and over again. And you see this, this plane doesn't look like it's making any 500 knots or anything even close. It's just kind of wafting in like it's coming in for a, looks like it's on final approach for a normal landing. And then I'm wondering that it looked like a 757 just goes zooming, it's banking as it goes into the tower. And I thought, wow, how did somebody happen to have their camera pointed right at that thing just as it went into the building? I mean, this goes all the way back to the Kennedy assassination. How was Abraham Zapruder able to hold that camera so steady with gunfire going off and as he's filming the President of the United States being assassinated? He doesn't even jiggle the camera. It's like it's on a gyroscope. It's perfectly, it's not like a steady cam that they use in the pictures. And then you've got the obvious prophylactic legs on wheelchair guy at the Boston Marathon bombing being wheeled down the street with shattered little shin bones hanging down, but he's conscious, upright, and not bleeding. And unless it was one hell of a Photoshop job, there's a picture of him sitting around with some other guys who also do not have legs, but he's in military uniform. Looks to me like it was either some, desert base in the United States or Afghanistan. It looked like pretty arid and rugged terrain. Then we've got the woman that is taking a video selfie of herself as she moans and groans and cries, and her little boyfriend is going, just make the fireworks stop. And all of this is just like, really? This woman's having an emotional breakdown while video recording herself having the breakdown.
John, I can only say,
I mean, good Lord, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The same. Farmer Brown logic. Use Farmer Brown logic. I mean, you have the plane that crashes into the Pentagon, into the hole the size of what a missile does. Where is the plane?
At ground level. Right at ground level. Sorry about that. Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm excited here.
That no pilot has ever managed to duplicate, just like with a magic bullet. Nobody has managed to do the shooting that Lee Harvey Oswald is claimed to have done in the same way. Then you have the Pentagon. It's only the most protected building in the world. Where are all the footage? There should have been hundreds of camera angles filming this plane crashing right into it. But then what happened right away? Everything confiscated by the FBI because there's an investigation going on. Well, I would say you're, as an American, you pay the FBI in your taxes and so on. It is your right to see whatever footage there is. You have the Nice attack that happened where Nice is the city in France with the most CCTV cameras, 915 units all over in the center of Nice. They're very proud of it. Not one single camera is said to have been working. And the day afterwards, the authorities wanted to confiscate all material. Okay, is that the mentality of some government that is caring about you, that really wants to see to it that nobody, that this will not be repeated, that nobody else will be able to do something like that? Or is it the action of a criminal mind who are trying to cover their tracks and cover their own butt? This is the thing. You have to understand that the people investigating these things are there. They're as part of the operation. It is part of the operation. So these people that are standing up in front of TV cameras saying, "Oh, we're really trying to do our very best to track down these terrorists," or whatever it is they want to blame it on, they're part of the operation. Their job is to just look at something as something is being done, while zero is being done. The only thing they're there to do is cover it up, and cover it up. And if in the end we do not give up and get bored to tears trying to get some kind of information out of them, they will just say, "Well, we will have to create a commission, and the commission will really look into this thing." Please be aware, the commission is part of the crime. It's part of the setup. And this commission will then spend years producing thousands of documents saying absolute zero. And then, while sending out lots of different articles in the news, boring us to tears, and making us so fed up with the whole thing, so that when the final report finally gets out, we don't even bother. And the report will say zero. And then if people like myself is still sort of like, "But this, it cannot be true. Show us what happened," then in the end they will get another commission to look into the first commission. And nobody is looking into the crime. The commissions are looking into the investigation. After the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, we had three, almost four different commissions until people just gave up. They're part of the crime. It is part of the setup. So, but that is perfect, because I think it's wonderful, because then you can see, okay, this is this guy stepping forward. "Well, I'm going to lead the investigation." You know, he's in. And the lawyers and whoever is going to nail the patsy, they're in, not on a very high level. I mean, these are often part of a Freemasonic network, so they're part of the same brotherhood, so they can be controlled. And it's often the same people that appear again and again and again. Like if there is a commission looking into an airplane crash that is suspicious, or a ferry accident, or a terror attack, same people notice them. They just move them around like on a chess game, change positions so that we don't notice. We think, "Oh, democracy, they're really trying to do something." And this whole thing about national security, I would give it the finger big time. National security, my butt, is their security. They are trying to cover it up for us to see what's going on. They're trying to hide from us what they are doing. Top secret, and for your eyes only, their eyes only. It's censorship on a way. I mean, really, it is when you say, "Oh, it was so horrible in Russia under Stalin," it is the same in the Western world. We're living under the same type of thing, but most people are not aware of it. So really, it is wakey wakey time.
Well, you talk about fake news. God, good Lord. The world is awash in fake news.
Yeah, but now they have created this thing to be able to use against us. You know, this is the thing. Fake news, they're the one creating the fake news. We're the ones trying to find the real news. But now they're aiming it, they're turning it around. Facebook, which is so in bed with the CIA and these other intelligence agencies, but a fantastic tool for someone like me as well, if you know that you're being totally checked and so on. But they've just come up with a new option when you want to say something is spam or whatever, and there's a new option saying fake news. It's just to get it into the mind of people, also to become snitches and you know, inform the police about each other's. You know, they, the few in power, they don't need to do anything. We are guarding ourselves. We are our own prison guards. It's absolutely strange.
You know, this conversation is really more sobering than I thought it would be. You know, after a while, like I was saying earlier, on a long enough timeline, pretty much everything is revealed if you're willing to pay attention to it. I mean, going back to this, and people have heard me say this till they're sick of it probably, and I hope they don't get too sick of it, but just like the deal with the Boston Marathon bombing. You got everybody who's ever mentioned on mainstream media who was wounded in that attack lost a leg. Not an ear or an eye or an arm or a leg or other body parts. Always lost a leg. Wouldn't you think somebody be, you know, couldn't go out and with your BB gun without your parents saying, oh, look out, you know, it's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye, okay? But you're setting off pressure cooker bombs, and nobody has even so much as one eye injury. There's stuff like that. And then this whole Sandy Hook thing. What a total fraud. At least, my opinion is, it's a total fraud. I mean, what's that sign doing out there? Everyone must check in. The children are just, okay, we're going to follow teacher. It looks phony. It is phony. Wolfgang Halbig at least has got a lawsuit against the father, the alleged father of Noah Posner, Lenny Posner, got him coming into court in Florida. But the police departments and the state troopers don't want to cooperate with Wolfgang, can't get any of the radio transmission recordings from Trooper 1 that was supposed to be aloft that day. Gee, wouldn't it be strange to find out that except for just, you know, raw base crime that occurs between the criminally minded out in the world, actually the world is pretty much at peace. It's just that these idiots in power have to keep everybody jacked up for the agenda that has yet to be completely revealed, if ever, that they want everybody to live under the guidelines of this agenda. It's enough to make a guy jaded, you know?
But listen, I wrote a song in the early 90s or something like that. Could I read the lyrics for you? Because
sure.
I think they're quite up to date still.
That'd be great. Let's hear it.
It was after the first time I met David Icke in Sweden. I mean, nobody knew about him at all at that point. He could, like he said, he couldn't even fill a phone booth. But he really helped me see the bigger picture, because at that point I was so focused on the crime scene around the assassination of Olof Palme. I could not understand how these forces were connected on a higher level. Anyway, so I wrote this song, and it's called From Prison to Paradise. It goes like this. Once upon a time in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There were lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, wake up. We gotta wake up, wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. And now we come to the times where we are in now. But then came times of change covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down. Starting with the men in the mirror staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Unhappiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts, so we together can rejoice when a final change comes to its start. Wake up, we gotta wake up now. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of the pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, it's we the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it? Wake up, we gotta wake up now. And, you know, we met recently at the FDA conference in Dallas. I know you weren't, that you were sick, but can I sing you a song that I finished my speech with?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not a singer, I tell you, but the thing was I had this presentation where I went through so many of these false flag operations for the last few years. But when you look into the details, it becomes like a joke, I tell you. So the whole crowd was laughing many times and so on, which is perfect because when you go into these very dark areas, humor is one way of breaking the spell, in my opinion. Anyway, so in the end, I said to them that at this point in history, I feel it's very important that we make a stand, that we show the so-called elite what we think, and so on. And I said that together with a friend, I contemplated, I meditated for a long time to find the right words and for words that really meant where I came from. And I said, if anybody feels the same way and feels that these words are something that they can support, then please join me. And then I started singing, and it goes like this. We're so tired of the bullshit, yes we are. We're so tired of the bullshit, yes we are. We're so tired of this bullshit, tired of this bullshit. We're so tired of the bullshit, yes we are. Verse 2. We're so tired of the bullshit. I mean, people were laughing, crying, but this is the thing. It's bullshit. It is so... These operations, when you look into the details, I mean, come on. When you look at the assassination of JFK, mass masterpiece. We're still confused after all of these years. Absolute, incredible, multi-layered enigma inside a labyrinth. Unreal. Fantastic when you look from their point of view, how to get away with a thing like that. These kind of things that they're pulling off now, oh, give me a break. It is ridiculous. Like this guy you said, I think his name is Voight, the Boston bombing with a leg when they were running around. I have footage of him from another angle where you see the whole area where they run around with him in the wheelchair. Several times they go out into the outskirts of the area and then back in, so he's been filmed more than once. And at one time, he loses this false bone thing that falls to the ground, so they have to pick it up, put it back on, and then wheel him around again. Noah Postner, he died at Sandy Hook, that we're being told. Horrible, 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 if it was true. And then... 2 years later, on the day, more or less, I think it was on the 14th of December, there was a mass shooting in Pakistan, in Peshawar,
yep.
In one of the schools where they said a lone crazy guy went in and killed a lot of people. Okay. And among the photos of the victims was the exact same photo of Noah Postner that was used after Sandy Hook. And it was not one, it was in multiple places. And the BBC once again, they were there, they're always there, and they were walking, and there's this woman walking along a wall saying, where you see people with candles and flowers, always part of this whole theme, mourning these victims and so on. And who was in the background? Right behind her, Noah Postner. They've even approached his so-called dad, saying, how come, do you know, reincarnation, what's going on? And the dad, I would say, if I was a dad and my child, I was told, was killed in a massacre, and then 2 years later somebody tells me, no, he's alive, he's in Pakistan, wouldn't you be sort of interested or trying to find out what happened? No, on the contrary, he's trying to sue and stop these type of things going on because it was not real. And please look at all of these victims from San Diego. I've been involved in a series of books published by a company called Moonrock Books. I worked very closely with Professor Jim Fetzer, and it's a whole series of books. One of them is called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. The other one is called And Nobody Died in Boston Either. And there's one about 9/11. There's, we're just in the process of finishing one for JFK. There's going to be one about Pizzagate. There's going to be another one about the false flag operation timeline written by Nick Colostrum. And there's a whole series of these books, Moonrock books. And the thing is, it's not the opinion of one person. These are books that are put together of often around 10 to 12 PhD heavy researchers that have devoted their whole life to expose these things. Articles written in many different things, and then we put it together in sort of like one book where one long article makes one chapter and so on. And it just totally pulls these things apart, debunking them 100%. And then the book about Sandy Hook, that was banned by Amazon. Believe it or not, Amazon took it down and blocked it. So what did we do? I spoke to Fetzer and some other people involved, and he came up with a brilliant idea. Let's give it out for free. So I made a new cover. We put like a big golden star up and top, banned by Amazon, and gave it out for free in the thousands. And then in the meantime, he found a new publisher, this Moonrock Books, and they started printing it instead. And then we made a second edition, more updated. But that book just goes through the whole step by step by step, hundreds and hundreds of photos, totally debunking the normal story. The Farmer Brown logic, 1 + 1 = 2. If somebody's standing in one location and shooting in that direction, there will be bullet holes there, there will be shell casing here, people will be wounded there, not behind the shooter, these type of things, you know, normal logic. And it is just every time there's a new thing now on the Martin Luther King Day, it's like, please, for the mother of God, give me a break. I'm exhausted. Every time these things happen, people from all over the world turns to me and say, what happened? And it is more or less, it's the same.
Oh, like, let me ask you something. We're all sick of it. We're all totally sick of it. Did I just cut off a punchline? Were you going to finish something there?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Other than just monitor this, I mean, this is what I do. Various, let's just say, entities, be they individuals or organizations, take an interest in what we do here at Caravan to Midnight. I am a social minimalist. Meaning, I just stay away from everybody. Love everybody, serve everybody, stay the hell away from everybody. I don't want to get pulled in anybody's jackpot. I don't want anybody getting pulled into mine. You know, and I just find there is security sometimes in just staying out of the way and just don't mix it up too much. But, I mean, I want to, but I think it's just prudent to keep the fences mended. And in the words of the late Patrick McGoohan, mind your own business. And that's kind of what I do on this end of things while I'm paying attention to everybody else's business out there. I have said a couple of times, what alternative media needs to do is weed out the idiots, the disinformation people, the trolls, the paid trolls particularly. And you know, and I implore people, don't go posting stuff unless you've verified it to the level of about a 140 average IQ. If do not post stupid, controversial, inflammatory stuff. All right. Be that as it may, what can we do besides just talk about this stuff? What should we be doing? Once we hear the information, what shall we now do with it? You read the Bible and you go, okay, I like this. And I do. Oh, Wells is an evangelist. Shut up. No, I read the Bible. I believe it. You know, I don't find anything in it that will harm anybody. By the same token, when we talk about these sorts of things, the only people that this information can harm, those people would be the perpetrators of the nonsense. So, I call it nonsense. It's really more like criminal rubbish. It's not nonsense at all. Actually, it makes a great deal of sense once you understand their agenda. So I go back to the original question after spouting off a little bit there. What is incumbent upon us who are interested in this? We want to know what the truth of things are, is, whatever. My syntax is getting screwed up along with my brain. What's our mission now? Now that you've told us this stuff, what is our mission? What is the mission of the people? Not people like you and me who go on to programs, who host programs and so forth, and who bring people on to talk about it. What do we expect people to do who listen to this information?
I would say talking and liking and sharing on Facebook and so on is not enough. It is way beyond that. To do something, it is extremely important to understand and be aware of your intention behind your actions. And I think at this point, it's extremely important that we do not do anything out of anger, hatred, revenge, and that it's super important not to go in a violent way, because they would love us to go violent, to go revolution, that type of thing, because violence is their game. That is what they understand. So extremely important, I would say, totally the Gandhi way, the Martin Luther King way, how they were showing. I mean, look at Mahatma Gandhi. He was walking around in what looked like a diaper with a stick. He had no teeth, hardly, no muscles, no army, no finances, no title, no nothing. And still, he was able to unite India. India, all crazy places. If you've been there, I mean, oh my God, how is it possible? And even get one of the biggest world power, the British Empire, to leave the country. So to say that nonviolence is sort of like a wimp's way, or I'm telling you, think again. So extremely important, nonviolence. When it comes to, I think it was a perfect advice you said, do not help to spread this crap around there, because people are so fast to just spreading fear, 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 fear. Ask yourself, who benefits, and do you know that what you're spreading is true? Is it true? Just because it is in a newspaper owned by the same power structure that is behind this crap, would you trust someone like that? If you found out that there's a serial killer giving out this newspaper, would you read it and believe it? Or would you protect your children? I think you would look after your children if you understood what was going on. There is one thing. What I find wonderful with this thing is that the elite few are so few. They really are in the thousands. We say, ooh, but they're so powerful. They are not. They are not. They are not. We are giving them the power by letting them get away with all this. Their talents, I'm talking about now the elite and so on. I would say their talents is to betray, to be a total coward, to be able to kill while smiling, backstabbing, being a traitor, and so on. That's their talents. That's where the limit of it. While looking good, I mean, many of them look very nice on TV, say what you want to hear, have nice suits, bodyguards, nice cars, but that's where it stops. Because the thing is, we say, but they've got all this surveillance, they've got all of these modern weapons, they've got all of this. They do not. Most of them are old guys. You give them you give them a laptop, you say, can you please install this program? They wouldn't be able to. Check out your dad. I mean, how good is he with these type of things? They don't. They don't know it. So all of these things that is so scaring, we are the ones doing it to us. And people in uniform, both the SWAT team, police, military, all of you, please wake up and understand that they are using you to control us. And you're actually there to protect us from forces like them. Total turnaround. Wake up, because you're the ones that are really protecting this agenda from the rest of us. So absolutely not okay. Stop it. You need to get some balls and step out of the line and do something from the inside. When it comes to false flag operations, I love it. They've got very, very few ones. They got that one that I totally forgot. What is it? Divert and conquer. No, that's not the word. To go in between and push apart and make us believe that we are the enemy. So that they always try to go in and tell you, no, it's the Muslims in the Muslim countries. They will say, no, it's the Christians in Hindu countries. They will say it's the Sikhs in Sikh countries. They will say it all the time, so that we will not focus on them. They are behind the curtains, just like in The Wizard of Oz. Super, super, super good image of what's going on. The Wizard of Oz. Powerful, powerful in a castle that you can't enter. Once you entered and you got the balls to go and start checking things out, you pull the curtain. Who's behind? A tiny little weak old guy with a microphone and a massive amplifier. That is a perfect image of the New World Order. And the amplifier is media. Turn it off. You are the one who had the on and off switch into your brain. You choose what you want to hear. You choose what you want to read and so on. Turn it off and understand that it's there to harm you. At this point, it's there to harm you or keep you totally brain dead by watching Idol or something else, or I don't know, Bachelor with 40 women around one guy or whatever. All of it is to divert your attention away from what's going on, because they're trying to do this now. So we need to wake up now. Okay, the other one they have is false flag operations. And the false flag operation works like this. They lead few, secretly create a problem to scare the living bejesus out of us, so that we will turn towards them that we do not understand are the ones creating the problem, saying, please save us, save us, save us, and then they will come with a solution, which every single time is more and more control, more and more militarized police. Give up your weapons, give up all of your power, your human rights, your civil rights, all of that, and pay for your own slavery, so that we can finance more and more unjust wars that are only there to feed this small little group with drugs, pedophile trafficking, organ trafficking, arms, oil, gold. That's it. So these false flag operations are there to keep us in control, and it is through fear. So they will continuously create these so-called terror events. It will be always one lone crazy guy. The reason they want him alone is then by law there's no conspiracy. And they want him crazy because then there is no motive. He was just crazy. And so case closed, if he gets killed on location, which he more or less always does, or is suicided. They have a very strong tendency to commit suicide after they've said to have carried these things out. Okay, so the thing is with these false flag operations, fear, 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 that is their aim. So we need to make ourselves fearless, not buy into the crap. One next time you hear boom or something like this happened, or whoa, now this and this and this, look out through the window. Ebola is now killing millions of people all over the world. Okay, look out through your window. Is it peaceful? Have you got big heaps of dead bodies outside? No. There's millions of refugees invading everybody. The US of you look out through the window. No. Calm, nice here. Now this is happening. The Ebola virus, the Zika virus, your brain will inflame and explode, whatever. You look outside. No, no exploding heads here. ISIS, it's everywhere. It's invading now. No, no ISIS here. Fear-mongering. Fear-mongering. I've been to many different Muslim countries. I tell you, I felt, I mean, some of them messed up because there's been a war for many years, like Lebanon and so on. It was a strange experience. But mostly, I met super nice people, very nice people. And I would suggest that when you go all over the world, you will find the same type of people like yourself. Different culture, but that's just exciting. Different colors, different food, different backgrounds, different all of that. But we can learn from each other. That doesn't mean that we have to become enemies. It's when you get so-called become fundamental in your ways. That means like your head is made of concrete, my way or the highway, and I would kill you if you don't follow my way. That is not the way to go, I would say. But this whole thing about the Arabs being the problem, or where were all the Arab terrorists before the wall went down in 89-90? Where were they? There were no Muslim terrorists at all. And then, boom, suddenly they come. You can always, by the way, find the trend of the current terrorist, the current boogeyman. Just check out the James Bond movies. They will show you what trend we're going on, and many other series that are following. But what I want to say, since my God, what is the word? I'm sorry, but go in and conquer. Shit. Anyway, but
divide
these false figures. Divide and conquer. Thank you, John. My God, divide and conquer. That's the one. So every time you hear, they're the bad ones, they're the bad ones, and so on, ask yourself once again, who benefits from me believing that the enemy is over there? And who's telling me? So it's the same old story. Any type of crime, cui bono? Who benefits? And also, any type of criminal activity can only continue in the dark. So aim the spotlight right at them. That is why my website is called Light on Conspiracies. I try to fearlessly aim the light into the belly of the beast, into the darkest of the dark corner, and exposing it. Let the truth do its job just by exposing it, because they are like cockroaches. You aim the light at them, they cannot stay. They will just disappear. And it's the wonder of all of this is that it's a spiritual awakening as well, because in the world, you got fear. Everything is vibrations. If you look at this in quantum physics and so on, everything is vibrating. Even though you think the table is solid and so on, it's not. It's atoms going zzzz. And the lowest of the lowest of vibration is what we call fear. The highest of the vibrations is beyond, they say that it's beyond the frequency of the brain and so on, is love. And if you do experiments in laboratories and you take a low frequency and a high frequency and let them meet, it's not like they start fighting and then end up sort of like 50-50% in the middle. The lower one just gets annulled. Boom. Just like when you go into a dark room and you switch on the light. It's not that the darkness is fighting the light. There's no struggle. It just goes away. And I would say people like Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad to a certain extent, what they said, I think like the way I see, I'm not a religious person, but I see Jesus as like a super hacker who got to understand the matrix, what are the rules of this world we live in. And one of the main rules is that a higher frequency annuls a lower one, meaning that whatever the problem is, meet it with a higher frequency to annul it, to dissolve the problem. And while you're at it, why not choose love in all situations? Because whatever the problem is, if you meet it with love and pure love, you cannot manipulate this. But if you do, boom, the darkness disappears. And the forces behind these dark operations are super aware of this. That is why they want to have us fearful, because that is the only way and location where they can control us. When we've got our head down in the mud with their boot in on our neck, that is where they can control us. If we breathe in and fill our hearts with gratitude and real love, I'm not talking about in love, like fancy someone. I'm talking about the love of from a parent to a child that would make him run straight into a burning building or something like that, and to get her child out. And so that type of love, if you meet it with that, it just, you lift, and you, this is, I mean, I'm a one-man band. I have no protection whatsoever. I don't use encrypted mails. I don't have bodyguards. And I try to be an absolute pain in the butt for these forces. The way I protect myself is by constantly repeating in myself thankfulness, gratitude, because gratitude is one of the keys to lifting your frequency. And that will also indirectly protect you. It will make your life so much better, and it will also help protect you. I believe so. Or maybe, I mean, I've had death threats and so on. Maybe I die tomorrow, but at least I will die feeling proud of myself and having enjoyed this spiritual experience here on Earth while doing what I thought was right. So back to false flag operations. What can we do? One of the things that they always have to do is a drill. They need a drill before they can carry out the operation. And this drill, they need to tell us about that, because the idea with a drill is to get vehicles in position, explosives in position, smoke bombs, crisis actors, directors, marketing agencies, all of these things, including getting catering in and toilets and coffee and makeup facilities, all of that in location. And if they don't tell us, as soon as they come with all of these cars and whatever, we will just say, what the hell is going on? But so the idea is they say, well, tomorrow we're going to have a security drill at your high school for your protection. Well, maybe, and often not. Because the whole thing is that they, once they close off the streets, they have a certain area where they will be able to carry this operation out. And they aim at getting it out in media, international media. They do not care about people on location if they see what's going on or not, because they are in control of who will be interviewed, who will, what witnesses will be heard and so on, because the witnesses, the reporter and so on will also be part of the operation. It is all set up like that, including the police that will then come and investigate it, all set up as part of the operation. So the wonderful idea, the wonderful thing with these drills is that they had to go out in media saying, tomorrow we're going to do this and we're going to be here and there. So what I would suggest for anyone listening to is, the next time you hear about a drill, bring your friends, bring families with cameras, go there the day before and on the day, and film them. Film them while they set it up. Make them very aware of that they are being observed, that they are being filmed. Because if they're up to something bad, that will possibly stop them. I humbly believe that I've been able to stop more than one of these planned massacres, actually several, just by doing these type of things, exposing them before it happens. And then do not go alone, because, I mean, if you're alone, they will try to stop you. And nowadays there are fantastic apps, I think one of them is called Bamboozle, that makes it possible for you to do a live stream up on YouTube while filming, so that if somebody, because they have always got like what is called bouncers or handlers that are there to keep people like yourself, myself, out of the area, not to get involved or interfere in any way. So they might come and confront you. They might look like police officer. There might be a police officer. But if they act very aggressive or they want to arrest you, or two, just while you're filming, just inform them before you consider hitting me in the head with something hard. Please be aware that this is being live on YouTube. There's a live stream going on now. And this has a very calming effect most of the time. If nothing happens, you film and then nothing happens while you're there, and then boom, a bomb is said to go off afterwards or something like that. Your footage of what it looked like before compared to with the crime scene afterwards is extremely valuable for someone like myself, because that is how you find out what actually happened. So the thing is for us to let the fog lift. And this is what I think is happening now. The fog is lifting. We're starting to see clear what's going on. There, the people, the few in power, are freaking out because they know when we see them, when the fog has really gone up and everybody starts seeing them, there will be a lynch party. And I can understand if they're freaking out. But this is, I would very strongly suggest, this is not the right thing to do. I mean, it's so easy. There are so few. We could so easily, once this all turns over, we could just kill them. But that, if you look at revolutions, listen to the word revolution, it just repeats itself. And when you study history, I don't know what revolution hasn't turned even worse after it happened. I mean, these people that killed the former dictators have turned even worse most of the time after a few years. So the thing is not to do that, not to repeat what they've been doing to us, but to transcend the whole thing, lift the whole thing. And this is where the spiritual awakening comes in as well, I think, where, I mean, I'm only in this for peace, compassion, forgiveness. That is the only reason I focus so much of my time on this. And at the same time, I think it's fantastic. So many of these problems we see in the world comes back to the exact same small little group. So fantastic news. The so-called world is not mad. It's not crazy. It's not at all in such a bad state as we're being told with climate change and all of these things. Yes, things are happening, but also there's a lot of chemtrailing, harp activity, and messing up the weaponizing the weather and so on against us, and so much else that are there based on the same mentality from the same small little group. So whatever happens, take a step back. Instead of just reacting, turn off the TV, take a walk, you know, go out, hug a tree, hug a cup, hug a neighbor, breathe, you know, and then come back. And after a little while, sit down and say, okay, now when I'm at peace inside, let me look at the situation again and see what are they telling us happened, what is actually happening, and why, and what can I do about it. And then use your creative mind. The people behind the New World Order are not very creative. Had they been, we would have seen super advanced operations, but we do not. We don't see it. It's crap. Nobody could be proud of what they're doing nowadays. It's the same. I can tell you exactly the next terror, so-called terror attack, I can describe it now in great detail because it will be the same.
Yeah.
But for us, we have the ability to use our creative mind and see, what can I do? How can I be part of creating this beautiful world that we will be facing, or once we transcend this small terror group here or cancer growth? Once we transcend this, we need to clean this globe up, you know, because we have messed Mother Earth up big time. So how to turn this modern technology and how to turn so-called defense industry or weapon industry into clean up and healing industries. And I mean, I think it's going to be super exciting and a hard work as well, but it's going to be great to see it happen.
Beautiful.
My God, I've been ranting on for a while here.
No, it's good. Now, you've written Coup d'etat in slow motion, parts 1 and 2, Shadow of Tears, Remind Me, Yolanda Yogapanda, and you got an upcoming book, The Elusive Enigma, a global tour of terror and guilty victim?
Yeah.
What's the,
I'm a business.
Give us a little hint here. What's the guilty victim part?
The guilty victim is, it's about the assassination of Olof Palme, where after 30 years, I've come to the deep understanding that he was actually part of setting up his own assassination, but as a staged event, like a fake event, but because he was HIV positive, and there was a massive scandal that they couldn't avoid. So what they tried to do was turn him into a living legend, just like JFK, by arranging for a fake assassination, but with a real hit team. It is super, super complex, this case. This is also why coup d'etat in slow motion, it's almost 1,000 pages, because and in great detail, all the names, all the photos, all the details, everything is in there, how this whole thing was constructed, and also how the forces behind this were using some of the same mechanics, even some of the same people that were part of taking out JFK on Dealey Plaza, November 22nd, 1963, were on location 23 years later in Stockholm, being part of that assassination as well. It's incredible when you see how these forces, I mean the Wizard of Oz type of power structure, have used the same mechanics for decades. And I heard an interview with one of the people involved, and they said, "But why do you keep using the same people?" And he said, "Why change your winning team?" And I mean, it makes sense. If somebody's really good at what they're doing, why not to keep them?
Yeah. And why don't you ever change your team? Because they're good.
Sorry.
Why would you change your team if they're good?
That's it. So it's not by coincidence that these people keep popping up all over the place, because they're just like hired assassins. And my friend, the CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum, who was a very advanced assassin. He was the commander of Pegasus, an ultra secret hit team under the direct control of George Bush Sr., and was part of taking out 17 what they call targets in Western Europe. I mean, he is the closest to a real life James Bond that I know of, and he says that the world of assassins is very, very small. On a high level, it's the same people being used, just being put on planes, going on location, taking people out. Because he says it's not something that very many people can do. You need to have a very special mentality to be able to carry these horrific things out.
So. I'm sure that's true. Now, how do we get your books?
You can find them on Amazon. Just to go with my name, Ole Damegaard. You will find it there. Or on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. There's a web shop there where these books, they're translated to multiple languages, several of them. And I just want to say one thing. I'm a one-man band for a reason. Because organizations, I stay away from them, because they are so easy to infiltrate. And if you haven't noticed before, organizations start arguing. And often, I would say, I don't know if it's by design or if they're being infiltrated, but there's a lot of arguing going around. I mean, just look at the 9/11 truth movement. What the hell? Instead of us just joining up and aiming, focusing on who is behind this thing, people are still arguing about how it happened. Look at who did it. And then once we nail their butt, we can say, okay, fine, great. Now, if you want less time in jail or whatever, show us what technology was used or something like that, so that it can be used for the good of humankind. But instead, so many are just standing knocking their heads against each other. So I would say, instead of organizations, do networking. Be small little cells, maybe of a handful of people, not more, that do a lot of networking, exchange of information, and help empower each other. You know, be strong, be fearless, and so on. Because these are scary times. I had a friend in Germany. He was I must say I was. I received the Prague Peace Prize 2016, and one of the other people who received it, a German researcher, he has just been threatened with 5 years in prison in Germany for something he said in 2015, and they don't even inform him about what he said, what it is he said. But he apparently said something against the German state, and now they threaten him with up to 5 years in prison. We are looking at a dark future if we do not do something about it.
Well, we're going to be talking again in the not-too-distant future. I want to keep up with you and your future and the work that you're doing. And, again, your website is that's quite a nice website, by the way. I like it a lot. It's you have a membership service there at lightonconspiracies.com. So as long as we have a minute here, tell people if they decide to become a member of your of your outfit. What do they get for it?
They do. They get all of the interviews I've done. I've done hundreds and I don't know how many over the years. Also, I've got as much information as possible on the website. It's so heavy now that the server is almost breaking down. But also, please, if anybody wants to support what I'm trying to do, donations is greatly appreciated because this is my only form of income. I do a lot of international conferences and so on, but most of the time, like you know, you're paid the flight and accommodation and that's it. But I have a family to feed, donations, buy my books. I have a monthly newsletter as well I try to cover and show, be one step ahead. And I also would like to just mention that my sweetheart, Kim Kamala Ekman, who is not interested in these things, but at the same time, a worried mother of three, she came to a point where she felt, what can I do? So what she did was she came up with this brilliant idea that she put together a book called So What Can I Do? Where she put together 14 questions, sort of the questions that people ask themselves in the beginning of when they start waking up to what's going on. And then she contacted 8 different global researchers on a high level, like David Icke, Kevin Barrett, Carrie Cassidy, Cynthia McKinney, Sophia Smallstorm, I must say myself as well, Sam Gardner, who else? Anyway, and asked the same 14 questions and then recorded it on Skype and put it together in this book called So What Can I Do? And it's a fantastic book for people who are just waking up and also struggling with their family and spouses, because this is part of the waking up. So, John, would it be okay if I end with a prayer?
It would be perfectly okay.
Okay, I'm not a religious person, but there's this prayer that my Raja Yoga teacher, that is the science of the mind, that she uses, and I love it. It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. Because it is crucial that they heal as well. Because otherwise this mayhem will just continue. So, now I will be quiet.
I think that's just fine. Well, stay safe out there, and let's plan to get together again in the not-too-distant future.
Anytime.
Let's hope for a happier new year. It's still January. It's not too late to say Happy New Year. We got most of the year left to go by a huge percentage, so Happy New Year. And
I say Happy New Fearless Year.
Happy New Fearless Year. I like that. Thanks, Ole. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. It's really quite something, isn't it? Yeah, after a while, you get to see the pattern. What's in fashion this week? Is it AKs or is it commercial delivery trucks? And the same players keep popping up, don't they? Well, we're the watchers, right? Said this before too. Who watches the watchers? We do. Who watches us? You do. God bless. Be seeing you.